Blog Talk Radio.
Oh my gosh, I did it early. Dedicated the intro, decided to act up again. And as we work. Oh, am I live now? Yes, I am. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host with the most, the King of King himself, the man who's making a trip with Donald Trump to go around the world. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only, the sensitive one himself.
It is Sean Black in the building once again here. And how's everybody doing so far? Well, who else is doing the show?
She's busy in the bathroom again. So, as always, it's you and I. The show must go on. Let's get this party started. Sean Black and the rest of the world, don't forget to give us a call at 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. That's the Truth Show, where we tell like it is and no topics are off limits.
And, of course, it's our duty to piss people off like we always do.
And you know what? I know I meant to go to the feedback on last previous shows. I just never have a chance to, so maybe one day I will do a show of just all the feedback we've been getting. We have received some positive and some negative feedback of our show. And the one I want to address is the Jesus Christ one. Boy, some people really did not like that show too much because... We told the truth, the absolute truth. But other than that, let's continue to piss people off. Topics. We have some breaking news, because you have not heard yet. There was allegedly a terrorist attack at Manchester, United Kingdom. Ariana Grande concert?
Yes. Ariana Grande concert maybe 3 hours ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Roughly about 3 hours ago.
Hold on 1 second, Sean Black. She's finishing the men's bathroom right now, so she decided to appear.
Oh, boy.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need your beat.
Seriously, did you, like, bang your head today? When you were under the desk, did you bang your head crawling out from under it?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
Are you done?
Yeah, for right now.
Okay. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, before we go back to our topic that we was talking about, before by the end of the show, just in case I don't have enough time, I'd like to wish a good friend of ours, our co-host herself, she's going to join the 40/40 Club this week. I'm not giving up which day. And I'm not, when I talk about the 40/40 Club, I'm not talking about how many guys, how many girls she did this weekend.
Oh, boy.
I want to wish Anisha B a happy 40th birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you.
Because you know, as crazy as this show can get, we probably won't get a chance to get around to it until the show is just about over. So please get it out of the way and wish you a happy birthday.
I have no problem with that.
What, are you trying to forget your birthday now?
She's in denial that she's turning 40, but you see the gray hair already, Ed.
Oh.
But,
No.
Okay.
I don't know. I just don't do the whole birthday thing very big. To me, it's like another day. I'm going to get up, go to work. You know, the usual.
And go to the bathroom.
Pretty much.
You hear that? You want to wish Anisha a happy birthday, 347-989-8402.
There's something wrong with
you. Oh, yes. You know the Hot Rod was going to get into that sometime.
Oh, my God. He's broken. He really, you are broken.
Thank you very much. All right, so I'm back to the terrorist attack. From a birthday to a terrorist attack now.
What a segue.
Oh, yes, indeed. 19 people confirmed dead, at least 50 people injured. And, like, speaking, like, deja vu for us. But I know many times on the show, we always said that there will be minor attacks here and there. But who would have thought it would be a popular pop star concert, after the concert, as people leaving the venue, the explosion happened. Sorry.
Exactly. And I watched a report on the, when they did the special report, I think it was on CBS, and they actually showed, they had audio outside of the building when the concert was wrapping up, and you could kind of hear a faint explosion. So people that were inside of the arena didn't hear anything because they were into the concert. It wasn't until after, like you said, after the concert was over that the explosion happened and people actually started to hear what was going on. And then we started to see pictures of the injuries and people being carried out of the place. We saw a video of a lot of the paying customers running out of the building because they didn't know what was going on. And like you said, at least 19 fatalities. It could probably be more by the end of the night. We hope not, but this is the world that we live in. With Europe, we've had attacks in Paris. We've had all of these little, these smaller attacks. Any loss of life is usually huge, but we're starting to see smaller, concentrated cell attacks in certain areas, as opposed to these big, huge attacks that everybody expects to see happen now.
Okay, Anisha B. Eric B. sent me a message saying that terrorists won't stop until we take the least of our Marine Corps and let them do what they do best. Do you agree or disagree with that?
We've done that already. We've been in war with terrorism for how long?
Since existence, seemingly.
Yeah, exactly. There's always going to... Okay, let's say we destroy the crop that's out there now. There's gonna be new ones coming. I mean, this is what it is. You're always going to have people that think the way these individuals do. That's never gonna completely go away. They have to be re-educated. It's all about education. It's all about what you put in their heart and in their mind. Well, their mind and their heart, I should say.
But
you don't re-educate people, you're always going to have the same shit over and over again. Wait, you're breaking up. I can't hear you. Hello?
I think the Cookie Monster
Hello?
Got him.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
So we gotta re-educate.
No. Educate, but if this person who did a terrorist attack was a loner, he's upset with the world, he's upset with what's going on with the United Kingdom. Remember, as we discussed it before, we have copycats out there. And most likely, I'm taking a wild guess, this wasn't a copycat. And he wanted to do his job for the Allah, for the Muslim, for ISIS. And which many times on the show we defend Muslim people. There are nice Muslims out there. But when you hear these attacks over and over, you can't help what people are going to be saying or thinking. Here come another Muslim attack, another ISIS attack.
Well, you also have to remember what part of the world it actually happened in. And London has had attacks like this before. The issue is necessarily who's going to claim responsibility for it. I haven't heard any news since the last update of anybody claiming any responsibility for it.
I don't think anyone's claimed yet.
Yeah, so I'm not going to assume that it's anybody until they come up with some sort of extra news. The main issue is now is that we're in such a – the world seems to be almost destabilized in certain areas where little things happen nowadays. We're hearing more and more agitation around the world because we have lots more for people to be upset and angry about. We're hearing more and more people becoming martyrs now for whatever religious causes or potentially people that are upset. This could have possibly have been somebody who just had a grudge against the country's policies or somebody that had a grudge against, you know, whatever. Somebody could have been
crazy. But Sean, so back to initial education, with all that's going on with religion or whatever background you come from, or being a martyr, what, besides providing fear towards people and panic, of course that was always happened, as an individual, if I want to blow myself up, what do I really gain blowing myself up overall, you know?
Becoming
that I'm
infamous.
A hero?
You gain becoming infamous. When you think about some of the people that have done mass destruction, mass killing, like the person that did the killings in Connecticut that killed all the kids at Sandy Hook, or the killer in Colorado that killed all those people in the movie theater back in 2012, as was stated in certain things. As I say, some people just like to watch the world burn. Sometimes people do things with no particular reason other than the fact that they're just evil. Now, as I said before, we don't know anywhere near the full story of this because it's going to come out as we get the slow trickle of news. But what we have to be vigilant about and we have to be careful of is putting an assertion on what we think actually happened. Now, your assertion may be correct, but until we get more info about it, I'm just going to let the news present itself before I come up with something.
Sean, cut the BS.
It's not BS because
no, Sean, you know them. Sean.
Go
most
ahead.
Of the time, those type of attacks are Muslim attacks, and some member of ISIS were happy to call the news and say, "Hey, is that, they will claim ISIS claim it." Or you can have the news turn the stories around because God goes down. Trump will always say it's fake news and will tell you it's a Muslim attack. Maybe it's not. Maybe it could be a angry black man who can't take it no more, who can't stand white people or Ariana Grande. You never know. True. Well, most of these attacks are Muslim-related or ISIS-related, and that's how the world see it, whether
of course.
The truth or not.
And
that's
the problem.
You know. So my thing is with the religion itself, we talk about religion all the time. If God says, shall not kill in his Ten Commandments, why these people who follow this religion ask, if it is religion, out there killing people?
Well, they have to justify it within their own means, and a lot of people, whether it's recruiting for a particular point or a particular agenda, use religion as the foundation for a lot of hate, for a lot of movement. But as I said before, this particular case, although we may have our suspicions as to where it's going, where it came from, and what the premise was about it, I'm not going to go all the way and say that's what happened until we get a little more info. So,
okay, so before I go to the next topic, Anisha B, were you surprised that this happened at a pop star concert?
No, because when you're going to do something like this, you choose a venue, you choose something where there's a lot of people, well, you'll get a lot of media attention. Mostly that's what's really, most time this, that's what this is whomever did this, obviously wanted the attention.
And I didn't even know
otherwise,
that Ariana Grande was even touring.
Exactly. Otherwise, why pick something like that? This person or a group of people, whatever it is, obviously wants the attention.
Oh, I talked to people that's not in New York area. There was like a recent craziness that happened last week in New York City Times Square. Kind of relate to this and how I'm bringing this up because the way people react to the story. In Times Square, first thing you heard, one people killed, 20-something people got injured by a car that ran over the people in Times Square.
Yes.
Sean knows a little bit more about this.
Yeah. The man's name who was driving the car's name was Richard Rojas. And what happened is apparently he got in his car and drove the car southbound, going away from Times Square. And apparently, based on the reports that they stated, he made a U-turn, went northbound up towards Times Square, up onto the sidewalk, and mowed down people like they were bowling ball, like bowling pins. And
wasn't he high?
Oh, yes, he was high on what they said. They said he was high on K2 or that synthetic marijuana.
Yes.
Yeah, he was smoking marijuana laced with PCP.
Yes, and they say that he said that he was hearing voices in his head, and that would tick him off to make that U-turn and mow down innocent people.
Yes.
Now, the reason why I brought that up is because once you hear an incident like that right away, in New York City, you think terrorist attack. And from terrorist attack, back to Muslim people, from Muslim people. But once you heard the name, a Spanish name, oh, most people, oh, it's not a terrorist attack. But if you put a Muhammad Jahar, people will say it's a terrorist attack easily, not knowing the situation. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, if you live in the New York City area, you're going to initially, the first thing that pops up is because of that, and mostly because of the similar incidences that have happened overseas in Europe and where you're seeing, like, especially in Paris, where they're taking trucks and cars and not filling the cars with explosives or bombs or anything, but just using the vehicle as a weapon and plowing through people. So that's the first thing that they had to do. And if it wasn't for the fact that those stanchions that were put in Times Square after they renovated Times Square and put a civilian island in the area to allow people to sit and stand and have no real traffic go through, it could have been a lot worse, because there could have been traffic, there could have been many more people there, a lot worse could have happened. So those are the kinds of things that you think of, especially what you said, Hot Rod. They think terrorism almost the first thing. You notice when Mayor de Blasio came in to his press conference, the first thing that came out of his mouth is, we have no indication that this is terrorism. This is just somebody who apparently lost their mind and tried to kill as many people as possible.
So, Anisha B., do you think this guy deserved the death penalty?
I personally don't believe in the death penalty, so no.
Why you don't believe in the death penalty, may I ask?
Oh, because our system is nowhere near foolproof. There are, unfortunately, innocent people convicted of heinous crimes every day.
Well, apparently, you know, this Rafael Rojas did the crime. The video's right there. He mowed down 22 people, killed one.
Yeah, but if us killing him makes us no better than him, then what? It makes us no better. That's just a topic I don't believe in. I just feel that us doing that action, makes us no better than him.
I'm afraid to ask, Sean, do you agree or disagree? Here come another hour.
In this particular case, I don't think the death penalty is warranted, although he did kill someone. This sounds like the case of somebody who had some serious PTSD. He was a war veteran. He came back from what was told by one of his friends that were, I guess, was a roommate of his. Before he came back from, I think he was in Afghanistan when he was overseas. Before then, he was a pretty even-keeled person. When he came back, he started acting peculiar, different type of person mentally. I believe he stated along the lines that he said that he needed help himself anyway. So I think he needed
He's an alcoholic. Don't forget he's an alcoholic.
Which leads more to believe that he needed help more so than to be assassinated by the government, as far as having the death penalty or whatever is the case. I think he's going to be in jail the rest of his life, probably get psychiatric treatment and find out where to go from there. But it's unfortunate that this case happened, but I'm actually kind of shocked that more of these kinds of incidents don't happen because of how veterans sometimes are treated when they come back after fighting wars or after going overseas and seeing some of the things that they see and doing the things that they do.
Well, I'm happy you brought that point up, because my question to you guys, with vets, of course, you know, of course, this country is very hypocrite, you know, support our vets, you know, all that stuff. Do you see yourself giving vets a job, knowing that they've been through the crazy wars and everything? oh, I might be afraid if, that it might tick one day or go crazy or go bizarre, Anitra?
Well, why not? We give parolees a second chance. And they deliberately committed a crime.
Mm-hmm.
Vets, you know, they fought for our country. They did what half of us would never have the guts to do. Why wouldn't someone want to help?
Sean?
And that's the one thing I've never understood about this country. The ideal of the veteran is to get somebody that believes in defending and standing up for the country. Forget about the politics involved. About going over and doing what, like Anitra said, you or I or someone else wouldn't have the temerity to even do. And then serve your country for 3, 4, 5 years, come back to the United States, come back into the world, and then we give you a parade, we celebrate you, and then we don't want to hire you? That makes no sense. And
we're wrong.
It's,
no,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I brought this up because there's a lot of homeless vets out there and a lot of vets who can't get jobs at all, and they have the qualification and the job training for it,
mm-hmm.
but they just, for some reason, they can't get a job. They cannot get a job, period.
Yeah, and that's the craziness. And it's crazy. If you've ever seen the not any of the other Rambo movies, but specifically the first one, which is called First Blood, toward the end of the movie, Sylvester Stallone and his character basically was stating he was in charge of million-dollar equipment. He was flying helicopters. He was doing all of these things with expensive equipment, weapons, et cetera. When he comes back to the world, he can't even drive a cab. So that's the dichotomy that a lot of these veterans have to deal with when they come back from overseas missions where they have to go and make sure that there are no mines in the minefield to kill anyone, or having incendiary explosive devices near them, or doing triage for patients that have gotten blown to pieces, and then have
okay.
to internalize that and come back and have to work a regular 9-to-5 job and maybe have flashbacks or et cetera. And that's what I think a lot of the employers that are around here are afraid of, something's going to happen.
Okay. Now, talk about a crazy guy. We have K-Dog on the line right now. K-Dog?
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Hey.
What's up, everybody? Hey, guys, listening in on the show. My take on this whole thing with the way that the United States have been doing veterans dirty, it's just flat out wrong that, you know, with veterans who dedicate their lives serving their country, at least come home to something, especially those who have been in wars. The thing is, when a veteran comes back from the war, the things that they've seen, bombs, shooting, people dying right in front of them, you know, it messes with their head, and it leaves them it messes them up psychologically. And the best thing that – and the thing that they should be doing is getting them psychological help, you know, and
But see, not to interrupt, but here's the catch-22. As being
right.
a vet in the United States, you get free medical. So there are ones
yeah.
that take advantage, and then there are the ones that their egos won't allow them. That's no one's fault but your own.
Yeah, but
– I mean, if you don't want to take a job at McDonald's, because of your ego, again, that's no one's fault but your own.
But here's the thing. Why not get them the help that they need? Because many of them who are, and like Sean Black said earlier, many of them are homeless.
But there is help out there. But no one is going to put a silver spoon in your mouth. You have to go get it.
I don't think that that's
like they
necessary.
Have vet hospitals. They
yeah,
have them all
that's
over the
not
place.
Yeah.
It is true that
the help is
but
there.
You know what?
But if you
but
don't
you know
walk
what?
And go get it, it's not going to come to you. You have to go to it.
But they should be receiving help.
The other
yes,
thing.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But, honey, if you need help and you don't go and get the help, it's not going to come to you. You have to get your ass up and go get it. I mean, I can see maybe 20 years ago, 10 years ago, but now this day and age, there's help out there. They just have
yeah.
to get over themselves and go and get it. It's available.
Yeah,
they have the coverage.
But you know what? But much of it is very difficult because especially if they're already messed up as it is already, because there are many of them who have turn to drugs and alcohol.
But that's just not for no one's fault of your own.
And I can understand where you're coming from, Anitra, but at the same time,
I have
time,
that's in my family, so I know.
Yeah, we could understand that.
Yeah, I also had, like I said, my uncle, who years ago passed away. He served in overseas, and he didn't get his benefits until literally 2 years before he died. So it's a lot of times it's you go through the process of trying to get your benefits and also trying to make sure that you get
the help that you need.
There's a lot of times when a lot of veterans get stonewalled from their own government that's supposed to be helping them get to where they need to be. And a lot of times, because of all the bureaucratic garbage that goes on, especially with, as we've seen, how many veterans have complained about how their country isn't doing anything to help them out. And a lot of them aren't necessarily homeless by choice. A lot of them are homeless because, one, they don't know how to get the help they're supposed to get. And in a lot of instances, a lot of veterans don't know how to get help.
And that's the problem. That's what I wanted to say. That's what I was saying because, like I said, these are people who serve their country. And how is it that, unfortunately, they live in such unfortunate circumstances? Homelessness, drug addiction, and alcohol addiction, mentally unstable. I mean, it's just insane. And it's sad.
Anitra?
I'm sorry. I don't buy it. I know plenty of vets. They all went through the appropriate channels. They all went and got the help they needed. For someone to allow themselves to get to that point, that's on you. That's on nobody else. No one's going to hand you a spoon and put it in your mouth. You have to go get up and get it.
Well,
yeah, but some of them, none of them can.
No system is going to help you if you don't go and get the help. There are tons of military bases. There are social workers on these bases. Go get the help. If you don't go there, it's not going to come to you.
But also at the same time, the armed forces, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, they have to actually do a better job of making them available. And as I said before, not everybody goes through the hardships that we've seen of the homelessness and et cetera. But there are a lot of veterans, and I've seen on various news programs, I've had various family members that have been in the service that have gone through the same thing, that have either an issue getting the help that they need or not being able to get the correct steps because the process is so screwed up that they can't get the help that they need when they get it. And then you have certain timelines to be able to get certain things to happen or else certain other things fall apart. So I'm interested to see, we've seen both sides in a lot of instances, but I'd like to actually see what happens if, maybe today it's probably a lot harder because of the way the job market is, but I know back in the 80s and the 90s, it was extremely difficult for people who are veterans to get the benefits that they are entitled to without having to basically break their neck to get it, even searching through it, and then it's given that the appearance that they're not trying hard enough or they didn't go to the proper channel. A lot of times the government, as a lot of veterans have stated before, they were just flat out stonewalled.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Our producer just texted me. He said he agreed with Anitra 100%. Anitra is 2-0 tonight. She's on a roll. It must be her birthday indeed. So apparently you're on a roll tonight, Anitra. Well, so
I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I just don't like, I don't know. To me, I just see it as being excuses and or being lazy.
Okay,
which is
well,
understandable.
Well, this is a good segue.
But that's
the next
just my part. Opinion.
And this is why the show is about, your opinion. This is your night, apparently, so you can say whatever you want, besides cursing me out. But
I do that every day. So.
No, exactly.
Oh, man, you get that every day, man. You get no respect.
Well, talk about getting help. the story about my supervisor had given a talk last week that she was doing a field shoot at a homeless shelter, talking about trying to get help from other people. And she was talking, and she was interviewing different families, and most of them are single mothers. And of course, my supervisor, she's white, Caucasian, and of course, most of the people that the homeless shelter was dominant black. And something she didn't understand, so she came to talk to me about it, like not to be offensive, hot rod. She was interviewing one single mother. She had 8 kids.
Mm.
Interview another single mother.
Mm-hmm.
She had 5 kids.
Another
single mother. Another 5 kids. Another single mother. 4 kids. Another single mother. 2 kids. And they're staying at hotels. Most of the families are complaining that they're not getting enough help from the agencies or from the government. Or how the mother with 8 kids, she's in a hotel room with 2 beds. She don't have enough money to feed her children and everything. And she, to her opinion, like, why in the world? I understand there's help out there. Everybody have it rough. Hot Rod, you got 2 kids. I know you're having a hard time. But, you make do. But you're working your ass off. But why in the world a mother want to have 8 children? So my question to all you guys, starting with Anisha first, should there be a limit? I mean, anybody could do what the hell they want to do. But do you think there should be a limit of how many children a mother or a parent or parents should have, especially on their financial level?
Okay.
And should the government put a stop on it? Like, if you pass 5 kids, no more assistance to you.
That's kind of what the government did. It used to be to where if you were on public assistance, the more kids you had, the bigger your check was. Everybody knows that. That was common knowledge. Well, now that's no more. So you're going to find a lot more women with multiple kids in shelters, because the law is if she stays there for about 6 months, they'll move her into an apartment. But the checks don't get bigger anymore as you pop out kids. I think you get like an X amount and that's it.
Yeah, I think that
because a lot of women have kids.
That's a problem
for the bigger check, but apparently they're not doing that anymore. They've changed the laws somehow, so it's a completely different ball game now. So the fact that there were a lot of women in the shelter with multiples, 5 plus kids, I personally think it's ridiculous. If you can't afford them, don't fucking have them.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think it's selfish. Because you can't give that child, you have a child, when you have a child, you want to give them more than what you have. Rod, you have 2. Do you want to give them what you didn't have as a child? Education-wise, maybe housing-wise, life experience, you want to give them what you didn't have, correct?
Yes, you saw me yesterday in Coney Island. I want those 2 kids driving me crazy. You and Kato saw that.
But
I could see for myself.
But that's common sense. But some people do it. It to me, it's selfish. I mean, if you can't afford 2, why the fuck are you going to have 4?
Before I go to you, Sean, before I go to you, another thing I'd like to ask. The woman with the 8 kids, 5 different fathers. So,
good.
5 different fathers, 8 kids. Do you also blame in the fathers as well of having kids, or you know what, the guy that did this thing, I'm out?
No, it's both of them. It's both. It takes 2 to have a child.
True, but as a guy,
there's no
blame
on her than him. It's both.
Yeah, but,
you're responsible for that child.
True, but if I know you have 4 kids already, I'm having sex with you without a protection, and you have a
My
child,
goodness.
I'm out. That's just me. I don't care. So is that really you or me? Yes, it's always 2 people's fault. But if that's the mentality of you have, you decide to open your legs, I lay the seat and I'm out. So
she's dumb enough to have unprotected sex, and he's dumb enough to sleep with a female that's got more than 3 fathers.
Sean,
I think that's one of the biggest problems seems to be. It's people take their carnalities and use that over their entire brain. instead of thinking with the head that has the brain, they're thinking with the other head that's between the legs. In
that's
general, I remember reading something online not that long ago. I think it was up to maybe 2015. I think that there, for every child up to a certain, because there's a family cap, like Anitra was talking about, there's a family cap in the government that was supposed to give you X amount of money per month for the year. And I believe it's something along the lines of $25 per day per child. And that's roughly about $9,000 extra. What I read was there were also, there are some states, based on the way this family cap worked, where a single woman who had multiple children was making more money from welfare than from a regular 9-to-5 paying job. So the incentive was to try and make sure that you get your children taken care of long enough so that you can move them into a better situation. Now, there was also a survey that I read that stated that there is no difference as far as childbirth rates between people that are on welfare and then people that aren't on welfare. And that's kind of what's been clashing back and forth. So there's always that argument that all the people that are on welfare, they're all these the minority people that are on welfare and having all of these children to try to get this big paycheck.
I beg to differ on that one. I don't see that at that one. I see, it's like a little bit truth to both sides, but I see rich people have 2 or 3 kids. But I'm sorry, how many rich people you know besides Donald Trump that have his seat all over the world have 8 kids and super rich, besides that crazy family that had like 22 kids, the Duggan family? That's a crazy family. But in New York particular, how many people you know right off the back have 8 kids that have, both of them are millionaires?
Oh, I'll give you even better. Remember Octomom? Natalie Solomon?
Oh, yeah.
Had already 6 of her own children and then got impregnated by a sperm donor and ended up having 8 more children. So she was having problems raising 6 of her own children and then had an extra 8 and ended up doing like porno films or something to try to support them. And she ended up being on welfare doing,
I remember when that was out there because, you know what, she benefited from it. That's the whole thing.
But not for a long time. Welfare could get but so far.
And unfortunately, I could say this is that, yes, and Anitra, I agree with you. I agree with you on the fact that there are some guys out there, hey, it's either you think with your head or you think with what's between your legs. And, dude, if you know that you can't be a father to these children and, you know, you got to put on some protection. And also, there are some people out there, especially with some of these mothers who are having these children, who are milking the system. If you understand what I'm saying.
So Kato, should they put a stop? Should they stop getting public assistance after having 5 kids?
Listen, if you are able to work, then you shouldn't be getting public assistance. You need to talk to these fathers out there who are getting these women pregnant.
Okay, though, someone has to take care of the kids. Who will take care of the kids is the mothers at work.
Well, there's got to be some things that has to be done. There's daycares out there.
Who will pay for the daycare?
Hey, cuz, put it out the father's pocket.
A single mother, for example, I have 8 kids. Who will take care of these kids? If you're saying that person needs to get a job, Sean, let's say my baby mama needs to go out there to work. One of the kids gets sick. Who has to go take care? Who has to go get that child from school?
Well, of course, the mother should take care of the children.
And you know what? If I give you a job as a mother, and you have all these kids, and you keep missing work because one child is sick, one child can't make it to school, this and that, I'm not going to give you a job. So it's hard for a single mother or a single parent to get a job with all these multiple kids.
And that's why
most of them still
step up.
There are plenty of examples of that happening where you would actually see, like you just stated, a single mother who has two or three children, and there's no father in the life of the children, and the
right.
person is got the job, and now is under the probationary period, which is usually about 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, before they can say, okay, now you're tenured enough to be able to get X amount of benefits, money, et cetera. And within the first 2 or 3 weeks, child gets sick, or something happens where you have to, or the mother gets sick, and she has to stay away from the job. Somebody's got to take care of the kids at home while that becomes the case, and eventually what happens is the mother loses her job. So now she's back at square one, back on public assistance. And this is the cycle that happens. As I said before, it's the system itself that's broken that allows a lot of people to sometimes take advantage of the system. And the system has never really been perfect, but what we're seeing now is that we're getting people that look at the situation and say, I want to get myself out of this, and they can't. Now, I'm not saying that they are 100% perfect as far as trying to get off of it, because there are some people that will sponge off of welfare. But at the same time,
oh, yeah.
welfare, the system was basically made for people to get off of it, but we're seeing more and more people finding loopholes around the situation to stay on it longer.
Okay, let me go a little bit more deeper. New York-wise, guys, do you see a difference between white people on this system, Jewish people on this system, and black people on the system, or is it all the same crap?
Well, you know what? I could say this, is that when you look at the welfare system, when you go, especially right here in New York City, especially right here in the borough of Brooklyn, I know people who do work in the system, who do work for the welfare office, and from what they told me is that they've seen a huge majority, and I'm not, and trust me, I have no prejudice bone in my body, not one. But
yeah, right.
from what they
you just
told
called
me,
Donald Trump. You just called Donald Trump the N-word last week. Please.
Yeah,
I meant to call
him something else. That kind of slipped out. I apologize about that. But, however, yeah, Donald Trump, I think he's a dickhead, but that's another thing. But, however.
So funny when we feel.
Yeah, that's right. Well, anyway, like, to be serious, but they told me that the majority of people that do come into the office are mostly the Jewish mothers. They could come in there with a total of 8 children, and they could get the welfare in the snap of a finger.
And boy, that's why I asked that question, because in Brooklyn or New York area, for the people that's outside New York, it's very pop. When you see Jewish people with like 4 or 5 kids,
yeah,
in our mentality, you already think welfare for them. But they like they're doing it in a sneaky way. Compared
yes,
to
what
I was saying earlier, some people take advantage, some people really do need it. It's like the system's so broken. It's like the people that really do need it, the families, they cannot get help. And the ones that don't need it do get help right away.
Yeah.
It's like an oxymoron, like a backward type of system. But Sean Black,
mm-hmm.
how do you feel about that?
Well, the way I feel about it is the fact that the system, like I stated earlier, is broken. And for those that don't realize, and I'm going to throw in another dynamic that you have made, you brought up before over the last few weeks, the race component and the fact that people don't realize 78% of people on welfare in the nation are white, not black,
yeah.
not Latino, white. The majority of people that are on welfare are Caucasian, and the stigma that's behind somebody on food stamps to the fact that they've changed the name of it to what I think is called STARS or the STAR program or
yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Is WIC and EBT cards. EBT cards.
And you see in a lot of areas that the perception that is put on, especially through the media, on TV, newspapers, et cetera, is the fact that the majority of people that are on these programs are minorities, Hispanic, black, and that's quite simply not the case. And when you get that negative stigma away from it and it's thrown toward the people that are actually on it, white people that are involved with it, then you might get a change in attitude and the way that certain things are. But if you look at what's been going on with the government, if I'm not mistaken, the president is actually trying to either get rid or try to change how much money is involved in it. So it's certain things need to change, but like I said before, the system is crippled and broken.
Yes, it is.
Many people taking advantage of the loopholes that are involved.
Okay, so let me just be, when you see people in the supermarket using EBT cards, buying like junk food or whatever, do you get a little bit tight or upset?
No, I don't care. It's their business.
But that's your hard-earned money. That's your tax. That's the taxpayer money.
This system is so corrupt. I honestly don't even pay attention to it because it's a corrupt
system.
It is. I mean, there's so many people out there taking advantage of it, selling. I used to know people that sold the food stamps for money, you know, shit like
wow.
that. Like,
are you serious?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Because it comes on a card, you can sell it. People sell it. People have done so much shit. I mean, honestly, I don't even pay attention to it. I mean, cause to tell you the truth, if I myself needed the help because I don't have a small child, I would get turned down.
And they can
usually
link to
why,
how much money you make, right?
Exactly. And it's like minimal. Like, it's ridiculous what the cap is. So it's supposed to be there to help, but it only helps when for people who take advantage of it, looks like.
And here's the other part of the system that's broken is that you can only buy certain things on WIC or with an EBT card. There's certain
Sean, you are completely wrong on that. I'm sorry to cut you off.
If you can digest it, you can buy it.
Oh, okay.
You can use
that
at any store.
The last that I remember on seeing people talking about it was the fact that you can only buy a certain type of milk or a certain type of bread or a certain type of cereal.
They changed it.
No, the WIC checks, you're right. The WIC checks you get, but the EBT card, you go buy, if there's $20,000 on it, you go buy a car with that, okay?
Wow.
That's how
it
works.
I would like to see somebody stroll into a dealership and put down on a Mitsubishi Lancer with an EBT card.
Because think about this, ladies and gentlemen. You could, in New York, you could go to McDonald's or fast food place and use the EBT card. You could go to almost any stores now, Target, use EBT card because it's an electronic beneficial transaction, something like that. So you're right about the WIC checks. The WIC checks is for food, like certain type of milk, cereal, whatever.
Yeah.
But the EBT card is basically free money, and that's what we're aiming at. Like, you know, you have three or four kids, you get another $50. So with all these people having kids, why I brought this subject up, why are they getting upset that they're not getting the proper help that they really need? Like, for example, the lady with the 8 kids, you're very upset that the system is not helping you out fully, but then again, you have 8 kids, you know. You could be a millionaire and still be broke with 8 children.
Exactly.
Like I always say, no one is responsible for you but you.
I think that's what
the government is there to help, not to take care of.
You know what it is, Anitra? Unfortunately, you have some people out there that will pull the biggest con game to get the welfare. They'll come with a sad story to the office, and next thing you know, they're reaping in the benefits. We've seen a lot of people do it. And you know what else, too, that I wanted to add, other than the Jewish people doing it, but you also have, if I'm mistaken, the Russians doing it, too.
Well, Russian Jews, they're almost the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, they are Russian Jews out there. But I think the system, just the mindset of a woman, particularly of having multiple kids, especially by multiple fathers, is mind blowing. It's like,
that's
crazy. It's a head scratcher. Like, Sean, let's be honest. Do you see yourself dating a woman with 4 or 5 kids with different fathers at this stage right now?
I don't know. I can't see that happening. But then again, you never know what the future happens. You just can't see that far ahead. But I look at it like this: if you're in that type of situation, and you know that the person has multiple children, maybe with multiple fathers or whatever is the case, if you decide to stay with that person, you just have to be careful. The problem is, I don't necessarily believe that, although there are some unscrupulous people out there, men and women, I don't necessarily think that there are people going in it getting pregnant on purpose. Maybe as far as not being careful enough, I can understand that. They say, oops, I got pregnant again.
Well, now that I'm pregnant, let's
see what happens.
Sean, something's wrong with you tonight, because I'm agreeing with Anisha a lot tonight, and now you've been smoking something tonight. I don't know what is your problem. It must be Anisha's birthday indeed, because you are out of it. I have dated a woman once. When she told me she had 5 kids with different fathers, thank you for coming, because with that, Sean Black, despite how good the woman is, it comes with a lot of baggage, a lot of drama. And sometimes in life, you don't need all that drama, you know. But 210, I know who this is. You're on the air.
Yo, what up?
Hey,
what up?
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Mr. B, K-Dog.
Hey, what's
Black,
going on, brother?
Honorable Hot Rod, what up?
Nothing much. You have 10 kids, Brother B. How does it feel to have all these kids?
Man, listen, I've had 10 kids. I'd have probably had myself castrated. But I'm done with sex. With that. Listen, I just see it like this. Looking for nub in all the wrong places.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it happens. You know what I'm saying? And you have some women out there, and some men as well. You know what I really blame it on? People are not as sure in their decisions or sound in their decisions. Not like they ever been. But when we were growing up, our parents did things differently. Morally, you know, for the household, family-wise, they did things differently. Nowadays, it just really seems like people are just in it for the quick ride, and if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It's like no one wants to try to make it work anymore. You know what I'm saying? I mean, everybody has their discretion, but it's like, yo, if you're going to have multiple kids, I mean, it gets to a certain point. What's that saying? The first time, same on you. The second time, same on me. It's like with my kids.
Yeah.
Me and her were together, but she said, hey, you know, I got a badge, so I'm going to go do me. All right, you go do you. You turn around, you go get to, you know, but even though we have a great kid out of the deal, she goes and does the same thing, and it doesn't work out. So when do you realize it? When you come to the realization it's you, maybe it's you and not someone else. You don't get three, four, five kids in and start to realize, oh, it's somebody else. No, maybe it's the wrong decisions that you may be making.
Exactly.
Anisha B, what do you think?
Well, I happen to agree. I mean, growing up, I actually had friends, unfortunately, that by the time I was 15, a lot of my girlfriends were pregnant. By the time I was 18, graduating high school, a lot of them were on their second and, unfortunately, third kid.
Good grief.
Man, you know what?
Very unfortunate. A lot of my girlfriends now are grandmothers.
You want to hear something, guys?
Yeah, that's
Anisha,
crazy.
I could second add to that, because you know what? The high school I went to was predominantly female. So when I was in the ninth grade, there was a girl in there who was pregnant. And by the time I was in the 11th grade, she too had 3 kids. And I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
damn.
This is what it was, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I luckily had, you know, the home structure to where, in the sense, to not do that. But a lot of people don't.
But do you guys think it's crazy? Like, look at me. I'm 41 years old. I had just had 2 kids not too long ago. While this wasn't, like Anisha and Kato said, there's people our ages are grandmothers and grandfathers right now.
It's
like, wait a minute. Should you be, like, in your 50s or 60s to become a grandfather, grandmother?
Nope.
Grandmother? Like, at 20 years old, you have a child early. know what, some people make mistakes, so be it. But once you make that second, third child, like, you're in your 20s, weren't you supposed to live your life at least?
That's right. And half of them don't even live their life because they sit there and say, oh, wow, look, oh, you had this, you had that, oh, I didn't. I'm like, well, you chose not to have it because you were sitting around here with some guy and messing around and getting pregnant instead of thinking about what the future holds 5 years from now.
Well, who's really, at a certain age, they're not thinking about the future. They're just thinking about lust and what they think
exactly.
is love.
And
you know what I'm saying? So they get caught up in it. But see, nowadays, the system offers incentives, you know, because
take it or leave it.
You can't lie. You can't lie. There's some women out there who just feel scorned. So the way they get back is certain programs such as child support. And then they find, some of them find it lucrative. Listen, I'll put it out there. My kid's mom, I don't know what her problem was. I guess the fact that I didn't want to play along with the game. But listen, right now, she gets a pension, and she's collecting over $2,300 in child support a month, two kids. Right?
Mm.
So my thing is, she has an apartment, she has a house. So some of them see this as a come up.
Yeah.
And so they don't mind. And I heard numerous women say it before. Well, after you pop out one, the rest are no problem. So, yo,
right.
Oh,
and you know what? They
so
could use
B,
you as a sucker to get it.
Brother B, do you mind if I sue you for some child support? Because, you know, I need some help myself, you know.
Listen, man,
saying, you know.
If I had some to give, because I'm damn near tapped out. Shit, I work
okay.
too dumb.
Wow. Wow, we attack a lot tonight. We got 3 minutes left. Sean Black. I give you the floor tonight. Anything else you'd like to say? But you know, I've been on your case all night. Not like I care, but you know.
The one thing that we have to look at as everything is going on and everybody's seemingly lost their mind is to make sure, as I know I've heard Brother B talk about before, that you don't get distracted from all of the stuff that happens in the news. You can kind of keep your eyes on the main things that are happening, and we all know what that is, that person that's our president and some of the other things that are happening around it, so are seemingly starting to come to a head. So if you can kind of keep your mind focused on what the heck is going on and not worry about the fact that he's overseas somewhere, something big seems to be happening with what's going on with our president and what may happen in the future. So keep an eye there.
Okay. Brother B, last night on your show, The Menu, right here on Blog Talk Radio, Sunday nights at 9 o'clock, you had a caller named Andrew from Texas, I believe. And you asked him a question, and he gave an answer. What was that? What was the question and the answer? We have a minute 30 left. About something, why do black people want to live in down south or in those areas?
Oh, I mean, he was talking about basically people down there, some of them are still have the slave mentality. Like that, like certain things are just acceptable, and it's become okay. I mean, listen, let's not get it twisted. Nobody wants to have to continue to live in fear. So sometimes, if you comply, you'll be okay. And that's always been the thing. As long as we comply, as long as you comply with whoever feels that they're the top dog, then you're good. You're safe. You don't have nothing to worry about. And I think that's what he was saying because. In his area in Texas, there's a lot going on over there, but like he said, certain ones. He said there's certain areas in Texas that black people just should not never go.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, it's 2017.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well.
Welcome
thank
to
Thank you so much. So the next week's show, I'd like to talk about a topic if there's time next week. Are black people racist? That could be a good question for next week. For
interesting.
I think you might need 2 hours for that one next week.
Yes.
Oh, yes,
well,
you
ladies,
will.
Wow,
Brother B, K-Dog, Anitra B, Sean Black, guys, thank you so much. Once again, Anitra B, happy birthday. Wish you many more. Many
oh, happy birthday.
Yes.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Anitra.
It is not my birthday yet, but thank you very much.
Okay,
so,
we'll
you know,
wait for your birthday.
Anitra
right,
B,
you going to strip for her? You stripping for us tonight?
Yeah, of course, man. I'm still on the way.
Nightmares? What is wrong with you? You just said happy birthday and Hot Rod strip in the same sentence. I don't know.
We're going to get him
you
a romper.
You don't like me?
No.
Good night, everybody. Take care now.
Good night.
Pleasure
was all K-Dogs.
Pleasure was all yours.
Good night, fellas.
Good night.
Good night, y'all.
Good night, y'all.